Over the weeks we've been, last weeks we've been looking at God and how God wants to strengthen us and knowing the strength and the power of God in our lives. Also, that word expectancy is just brewing around us all the time. That expectancy that would come expectant, but have expectant hearts, expectant to hear God, to see God, to experience God, to see Him move in different ways. And we want that to rise and to continue as well. But it's one of the things that's been on my heart this week and something to begin to pursue in God is that verse. It says, we don't look at what we see, but what was unseen. And the Bible says, doesn't it, we walk by faith and not by sight. And so often around us, we're caught by everything. And as I said earlier, the distractions around us, things that are going on, our vision and our attention is taken by what we see. Our lives are based on what we see with our physical eyes. But I believe God wants to call us to a place where we're living by faith and not by sight. That He would begin to reveal the unseen realm in a greater level to us. That would begin to put our faith in what we don't see with our physical eyes, but would see with the spiritual eyes of God. Further, I tell you, there is a kingdom that we live by. The Bible says, we pray your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So there is a realm of God that God wants us to begin to explore and begin to see. And as we read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see, whether it be that with Jesus or with the disciples or with the Old Testament prophets, that they had visions. They saw things of God that were not physical. They saw things spiritual, and then God caused that which was spiritual to become physical, to become the ordinary, if you like. It became the real. And God wants to, I don't think we need to hear that this morning, He wants to open our spiritual eyes, that we'd begin to see things from a heavenly perspective, would see what God sees. As Jesus said, my words, He said, are spirit and life. So we're going to come to Ezekiel chapter 47. And before, let's just pray before we read the scriptures together. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you have so much in store for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are a great God. And Lord, you want us to see you more, that we may praise you more. You want us to know you more, know your glory and your beauty more, that we may tell of you more and speak of you more. Lord, that we'd be full of Jesus in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that you would just reveal more of Jesus to us today. And we know that's the will and the desire of the Holy Spirit is to make Jesus known and to glorify the Son. So we're saying, Jesus today, Holy Spirit today, glorify Jesus in our midst. Glorify your purpose. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we remember those around us. Lord, remember Wendy. Remember Amy, Steve, and Ezra. Lord, thank you for Ian that he's here today. Remember Ian. Lord, and others who are battling, Father, in some way, the sickness or ill health. But Lord, we continue to remember you as our healer and our Savior, as our provider, as our all in all. And we declare over their lives that they would know that you would sustain them. You'd know your strength and your power upon them. Even at this second, at this moment, that you'd come upon them in a powerful way and strengthen them and their bodies. Lord, that they would be whole and well. And Lord, anyone who's come this morning, Father, you know our situations, you know our lives. And Lord, I pray even as your word goes forth today that you'd be healing, restoring, bringing life. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to talk about the river of God. The river of God, wow. And one of the things that I've been hearing just in conversations and begin to listen to people is that there seems to be a trickle of God's flow upon this church at the moment in time. And that God is, we're believing that God is going to pour forth a great rushing water over our lives. And I really felt that word last week, and I hope some of you have caught it, but that God doesn't want us to miss what He's doing. You know, I was listening to some songs the other day, but one of them was titled, Don't Pass Us By. Don't pass us by. And I don't want to miss what God wants to do in our lives. And as a church, I don't want to miss it for my life, but I don't want us together corporately to miss it. But Ezekiel had this vision of this river that he had, the mighty river of God. And let's read about it together in Ezekiel chapter 47. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced east, and the water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gateway that faces east. And there was water running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east, and with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters, and the water came up to my ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me up to the waters, and the water came up to my knees. And again he measured 1,000 and he brought me through, and the water came up to my waist. And again he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was so deep, water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he brought me and returned me to the bank of the river. And when I returned there, along the bank of the river were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, "This water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the seas. And when it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves," let me say that again, "and it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." And I'm going to come back to that later, verse 9, but I felt that was a prophetic word that I'm beginning to declare over us. Verse 10, "And it shall be that fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi to En-Gilim. They will be places for spreading their nets. Their fish will be of the same kinds of the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. The leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine." God bless his word to us today. Amen. Ezekiel saw something in the spirit. He had a vision. God was taking him around the temple and different times. And in chapter 47, he begins to show him something of God. He began to show him a mighty river that was flowing from the temple of God. He had this vision of the waters, this mighty living water began to flow from God. And I believe that God wants us to begin to see this. There's a river that is flowing from heaven. Do you see that river in your life? Do you see the river that God is flowing over us? Jesus began to talk about it in John chapter 7 when he says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, out of him will flow rivers of living water." He talked about himself being that water of life. Now, wherever we come from in our lives, and wherever we may be on our journey in our Christian life, we need to always remember this, that there is a river that flows, and it's a river of life, and it's available to us as we remember that. And in Revelation chapter 22, also, if you want to turn there with me as well, Revelation 22, John also saw the same river flowing. Chapter 22, verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for healing for the nations." Again, he saw a river flowing from the throne of God. I don't believe God wants us to look at things just in the physical, but from a spiritual perspective. And I believe that he wants us to see that there is a river that flows. Let me read that verse for you again, 2 Corinthians 4:18. "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal." The things that are not seen are eternal. So we begin to grasp as people, as Christians, that there are things that God wants to reveal to us that are not seen. When we grasp a hold of them, he said, these are eternal things for your life. The things we see on earth, as we walk out, this church will be, we can look at this church, one day these walls of this church will fall down at some point. We look at the trees around us, not every tree is going to live forever. And we look around us, we can see people, none of us here are going to live on this earth forever. If we know Jesus, hallelujah, we have eternal life with him. Praise God. But things on earth, they're eternal that we see with our eyes. But things that are spiritual, they're eternal. And they have eternal consequences, not just in eternity, but right now. And God wants to reveal them to us now. That's why he said in John 6, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. In other words, our human effort accomplishes nothing. But the words I speak are spirit and life. So when we come to Jesus, Christians, we come to him and as we are, only as we know. But as we get to know him, he begins to reveal things to us that may not be of this world, that are not of the flesh, things that are not of the understanding that we're used to. He'll take us deeper into the things of God to reveal heavenly truths, things of the kingdom to pertain to our life that will change our lives internally and change our worlds around us as well. And that's why it's so important that we begin to grasp the life and the word of God, that things that are unseen. So let's pray, God, open my eyes to see the things that are unseen. Help me to see the things that are unseen. Help us to see the river that flows from your throne. In Jesus' name, open our eyes. So what is it about this river? Firstly, you know, it says that it comes from the temple of God. It's something that comes from God. Now, some have said this river is talking about the millennial rain, something that's later on. I believe the river that he's talking about is a river that began to flow from the day of Pentecost. That's why Jesus talked about this river when he said, you know, out of their innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He's talking about the Spirit of God that begins to flow. And on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God began to flow. And boy, did he flow. Over the church, over the Jerusalem. And then it went spread over to the Gentiles, to the ends of the earth, all the way to Rotherham. The Holy Spirit is still flowing. And the Holy Spirit is likened to living water in our lives. And I believe this river that is flowing right now. But the question is, what do we do? Do we see the river that is flowing? It says that the river began to flow eastward from the temple. This is significant. Okay, it began to flow eastward through the Kidron Valley into all the way towards the Jordan into the Dead Sea. The Kidron Valley was known for its dryness, the dryness of land, for its emptiness, for its barrenness. That's very significant for us today. I believe there is a dryness in the land. I believe there's even a dryness in the church, where it's become almost a form of religiosity. That we've just gone on with the ordinary flows, the word ordinary comes out, ordinary flows of life. Not grasping hold of the living water that is flowing around us today. There is a dryness, there is a spiritual dryness in the church today. Some of us, we can have that fire for God, we can have the life of God, but there is a dryness, there is an emptiness within us that God is wanting to fill and wash over us with his living water. And it says here that the river began to flow through the dryness of the land. We may look at Rotherham, we may see the dryness of this land, but I believe it's got to flow through the church first before it flows through the land. It will start in the church. We know those who do not know Jesus are spiritually dead, and they'll always be dead until Jesus comes into their life. And the moment Jesus takes residence into our life, that life begins to blossom. We begin to change. Our perspective changes. Our hearts change. The way we treat people change because he's beginning to flow within our lives. But nonetheless, even though we can have Christ in our life, I believe we can still become spiritually dry. This water begins to flow all the way to the Dead Sea. You know, there is no fish often don't swim in the Dead Sea because it's a Dead Sea. They can't survive in it. But he says when the water flows, a great swarm of fish all of a sudden come alive. This is what God does. When God's river begins to flow over the church, it comes alive. We come alive. When we get in the river of God, we come alive. He sets our hearts ablaze for him. It says, doesn't it? We said when the Holy Spirit came on that day of Pentecost, it said the people, it said times of refreshing came from the presence of the Lord. There was a great joy in the city. There was a great excitement in the city as people began to respond to the gospel of Jesus. They respond to the good news of him dying on the cross and being alive again. And the fullness and the gift of the blessing of the Holy Spirit, of the newness of life and the change of life, of the forgiveness of sins that flows. Ezekiel saw this river began to flow over the dryness of ground, over the thirsty land. I believe there's a great thirst as well in this land. There's thirst in people's hearts. Maybe you've come today thirsty. And if you're not thirsty, then make that your prayer this moment. Don't waste a second. Say, God, make me thirsty for you. There is a thirst. People are thirsting for all different kinds of things. When Jesus came to the woman at Samaria and he found her there, and he was thirsty, physically thirsty, and he asked her for a drink. And she said, you know, why are you asking me for a drink? I'm a Samaritan woman. And she was shocked by that. And he turned the whole conversation around and he said, if you knew who it was asking you for a drink, you would ask him, meaning himself, and he would give you living water and you'll never thirst again. He's speaking of himself being that living water, but he's talking about there was a thirst within this woman. She was thirsty. She'd been thirsty for the things of this world. He said, you've had five husbands and the one you're with is not your husband. In other words, she was evidently, like many people in this world today, maybe like some of you here today, I don't know, thirsting for love. Thirsting just for love. She's thirsting for acceptance. She was thirsting for completeness in her heart. She was longing in her heart just to be probably noticed. Like many people in this world today, thirsting, there's an emptiness in our lives. And she's tried to fill it with love from men, but it didn't work time after time, just breaking her heart again and again and again. But yet Jesus came to offer something that would satisfy. And it still applies for us today. Hallelujah. Many are thirsting for acceptance. We read for different people in the Bible, whether it be Zacchaeus or Nicodemus or the disciples, for acceptance, for answers, for purpose, for knowing what's the life all about. Why am I here? There is a thirst within every single one of us. Not just a physical thirst, but a spiritual thirst. There is a longing. There is an emptiness in our hearts. And I tell you, the waters of Jesus is the waters that we need, that will only, is the water that will satisfy. It goes through dry places. The source of the river, Jesus pointed to himself. He said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. It said the source of the river, from that, when Ezekiel saw it, it said it came from the altar, from the east. It came from the south of the altar. What's the altar represent? It represents the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Even there, Ezekiel, he probably didn't always grasp what was happening. He just got this vision because the prophets tried to long to understand what these pictures meant. And yet we get the evidence of it, so we get the blessing of it, of the fulfillment. And it was Jesus. Even there, it's pointing that the rivers come from Jesus. This river of life that flows, that brings healing and refreshing wherever it goes. It comes. The source is always Jesus. If we try and find it anywhere else, it will not satisfy. No other religion, no other faith, nowhere else will find the same source of living water, only through Jesus. It comes from him. Quite a number of years ago, I remember I was in prayer and God had this vision. I just saw this vision and it was the place of refreshing. And you know, that's our inheritance. We're Elim. Elim is a place of refreshing. It's where they went when they're in the wilderness, and they went where there was palm trees and springs, and they were refreshed. That's our inheritance. So really, that water should be flowing constantly. But in this vision, I saw like an oasis. But just beyond that, I saw this desert, this dry, empty desert. And in the midst of the desert, I just saw this like old, dried, withered spring of a plantation in the middle of this desert, and it's just one in the middle. And I saw this individual who bowed down, and they were so thin and dying and lifeless, and they're trying to get every source of drop of moist from this plantation in the middle of this desert. And yet just across was this water of living water. And I just felt Lord was saying, you know, there's so many of us, we're trying to get so much out of this life, trying to just draw, but yet there is a living water that we don't see. We need to see there is a water that is flowing for us. Ezekiel saw it. Jesus wanted to open the people's minds to it. You know, in John chapter 7, it says, when I read to you, it says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. It was at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. This is very significant. Okay, people would come from all over Jerusalem, come all over to come at this time of the feast. It was a great celebration as they remembered God's deliverance and provision for them through the wilderness. And during this time, at this moment when Jesus stood up and cried out that cry in the loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, just at that time, I believe it said that the priests would gather some water together and they would pour it on the altar as a symbol of God's provision of water in the desert. And just as this water was pouring out, Jesus declares, in the midst of all this assembly, he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And I believe that cry is coming across to us today. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He was saying that water that was provided for those 40 years in the wilderness, he says, that was the water of life. And I am the living water for your life. Just as that water was being poured over, he was pointing, it's me. It comes back to him again. And he said, if anyone is thirsty, is anyone thirsty today for God? I tell you, we will thirst for things in this world, and there will be many quenching thirsts and things be put out to us, and it will just satisfy for a moment. It will be just temporarily, momentary. But when we thirst for the things of God, it's a living, eternal water that will flow from within us. And Jesus is calling out, he's crying out to his church to come to this living water. He's crying out to every one of our hearts today, I believe, that we would be thirsting for him. There was a thirst through the land. And Jesus declares himself as the source. Then come to me. Let's go back to Ezekiel 47. It said, while he was there, Ezekiel was there, it said the man, this angel, called him, and it took him, and it says he led him into the water. He called him. He said, in other words, he said, come with me, Ezekiel. As he saw this water begin to flow, and this water, it started, I looked into it, and the translations and many commentators would agree that it started as a drip, and then it began to increase. Now, I believe there's a drip that's flowing. Let's not block it up. Let's not hide it up. Let's not try and stop it, and we can't stop it, to be honest, when God begins to flow. But we can miss it. And it's a drip that began to flow and it began to increase. And he saw it begin to flow down the mountains. He began to see it flow towards the Dead Sea, through the Kidron Valley. And he saw it and it was rising up. This water was rising up. And it said, the man said, come. And he gathered him. He took him into the water and he took him, it said, ankle deep. Just into his feet. And he just dipped his feet into the water. And boy, it probably felt good. And we all know what it's like those days when we go to the beach and we take off our shoes and we get our feet wet and we may roll up at the bottom of our trousers and we begin to jump and we splash around and we begin to kick each other with the water. We know the fun that brings and the refreshing. But he said he just took him to the ankles. And sometimes that can be our spiritual walk. We come and we know the beach is just there and we come into the water, we dip our toes in and we may roll our feet up, we may do a bit of service here, there in the church, but we know the beach is just there. It may just be like, come to church on a Sunday and we get our spirit to top up, then we go straight back to the land and everything else that's going on around us. It's near to the normal days of life. We go a little bit deep, get a little bit of God, but that's enough for me and that's all I have, and then we go back. But he said, the man said to him, don't just stay at your ankles. He said, come further. Can you hear the Spirit of God call this church to come further? That's what I've been hearing all week. Come further. Come further. And he said he went up to his knees. That's a little bit more uncomfortable here. You know, he's going to get his clothes wet. If he's got his clothes on, he's going to get wet. And his knees are getting wet. And it's a bit more uncomfortable, but hey, we go a bit deeper into things we've got. Maybe we just have a bit of a devotional time with him every now and then. But we know the land is still there at a distance. And if any moment I want to walk back, I know I can get through those waters and I can go back. And I'm not just talking about being a Sunday Christian. I'm talking about I'm going to one or two prayer meetings. I'm reading my Bible every now and then. And I know God's there and I'm saying my prayers. I'm giving my tithes. But I know I can go back at any moment. Sometimes our walk with God can just be on that. We're a little bit deep, but that's it. And we live our lives just on that, up to our knees. But yet God's wanting to take us further still. As the man says to him, come further. Another 1,000 cubits, that's a third of a mile. So at this point, at the third point, he's gone a mile. He's gone that mile in his walk. He's gone that mile in the rivers of life. And now it's up to his waist. Now it's getting a lot more uncomfortable. And at any moment, he could begin to swim if he wants. He can trust in God for those things in his life and put his faith But if he wants to put his feet on the ground, he can. He's come a bit further than the beach. You know, the beach is that far, but he's just caught there. And I heard somebody speaking on this once, and they related it to the sea. And he said, we know when we're going out to swim in the sea, and you've got that big wave that comes over. And just as you get to that wave, you can be up to your waist in the water. And that wave can come crushing down over your life. And sometimes when we get to the waist and the things of God, the difficulties and the struggles and the trials of life and the testings that test our faith can come against us. And it crushes against us. And it may want to cause us just to go back and not go beyond the wave. But yet God calls us, I believe, as a church, to go beyond that mile and go beyond the wave and go to the place beyond the breakers and go into the place where it was so deep in him. He said, I got to the place now. He said, my feet weren't touching the ground. If I want to go any further, I've just got to swim. In other words, I've just got to throw and immerse myself in the river of life, in the presence of God. This is where I believe that God desires us as his church to be. To go to a place where we would just immerse ourselves in God. We'd be totally out of control. It wouldn't be about what I do, but wherever the current of God and his river wants to take me, I'll go. Just with my dependence upon him. Beyond the breakers, in that place of security. And I'm just in a place, whatever comes, my life is in God's hands. Whatever may come against me, whatever trial, whatever difficulty, whatever challenge, whatever obstacle, whatever may come against me, but God is in control. I'm just leaning on you, God. God would bring us to that place in him. It took him to that place. Would we be so dependent upon God? I love what he says in verse 6. He said, Son of man, have you seen this? I just love that. So he's there. He's probably swimming away. I don't know where he is. And, you know, that's another picture of you know, I think, being immersed in God and his presence. The Bible, I love that word baptizo, which means to be fully immersed. And I was christened as a baby. And when I was 16, I got fully immersed in God. It's that sense of, God, I just want you to wash all my sins away. I don't want to be anything of myself. I want to give my life to you. And that's what it is to be baptized, to be fully immersed in God. But he said, and then he took him there, so he's there, he's just swimming, and he's there, and he says, have you seen this? And he brought him back to the edge of the river. And I think God would say, have you seen what God's river will do? And he began to say, have you seen this? And when he returned, he began to see these trees, and he said, they're on the trees, that where the water touches, and it goes through the valley, so it's bringing life to everything that it touches, through the dried places, through the desert places. And he said, it began, and along the riverbank it goes, he said, every tree and every fish comes alive. Everything that it touches is healed. Everything it touches comes to life again. That's what God does. You know, when God really comes into our life, we should come alive. You know, if we come to church and we're bored, then there's something wrong with us, because God's not boring. His living water flows. We need to get into that water, because it's a water of life. It's a living water, a water that flows. And it's flowing for you and for me and for this world. And everywhere it went, even the most deadest of places, his water flows. And it says in the wilderness, that water came forth from the rock. And I believe that God would cause even the most hardest of heart, he can cause his living water to break through. Don't give up on anybody. His water of life can bring life wherever it goes. It brings joy. Psalm 46, verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. It brings healing. So Nahum, when he went to the Jordan River and dipped himself 7 times, as the man of God instructed him, and his skin became as healthy as the skin of a young child, and he was healed. It brings protection. Isaiah 33, verse 21, the Lord will be our mighty one. He will be like a wide river of protection that no enemy can cross, that no ship can sail upon. You know, do you realize that when you're in the river of God, there is a place of safety and protection in God? It's when we step out of his presence, we step out of his ways. It says in the Bible, doesn't it? If you read about it says about the demonic, when it's going around, the demonic, it says, goes through avid and dry places looking for someone to host. It don't like water. because the river of life. You know, when the river of life is flowing, we see the protection of God over our lives in a fresh new way. We've got to get in the river. His river's flowing. It brings healing, it brings life, it brings joy. There's dancing in the river. There's joy, there's life, there's fullness in the river. There's purpose in the river. But also he says this river, when it went forth, he said he saw fishermen that were standing by the edge and they were fishing. This is a picture of the, then I felt this is a picture for us as well as the church, but there were men who were proclaiming, and I see this as a picture of the evangelists, of those proclaiming the gospel, those witnessing, and it said the fish were being gathered in, too many to count. You know, God is calling us to be fishers of men, wherever you are. And the river of God, it flows, but it also, Jesus said, he said, it flows from within you. Out of his innermost being, out of his belly, will the brook and the flowing brook of the river of God flowing from within you out to others. This river is flowing beyond just the course, but it's flowing onto the river banks. It's flowing over the dry places. And God wants the river within us to flow out into the community, to flow out to our neighbors, to our families, to our children, to our parents, to our schools, the river to flow out. And Jesus said, let the river flow from within, let it flow out. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, do you believe the words of Jesus? Are you thirsting for Jesus? Do you believe his word is truth and life? Bible says in Psalm verse 1, it said, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They will be like trees planted along its river bank, bearing fruit in season. Their leaves will never wither, and they will prosper in all they do. Why? Because the river is flowing from within. It comes from faith, from an expectancy in God's being who he said he would be. Out of the innermost being will flow. God wants the river of God to flow from within us, from within his body, from within the church. It's a river of cleansing. It brings cleansing. There is sin in this world. You know, that's why baptism, I believe, is so important. I don't believe being baptized is going to save anybody, but I believe it's because we're saved that we shall get baptized. I believe that decision because Jesus was baptized, even though he didn't need to be, he was, so should we. Maybe God's speaking to you about it, and if so, then speak to me and we'll find a way of baptizing you. There isn't a baptism pool here, but I'm sure we'll find a way. Get baptized. But it speaks of cleansing. Cleansing from sin. Cleansing from sin. We are all sinners. Every single one of us has sinned. We separate us from God, and it hinders us from God. And it doesn't mean we just sin once in our life. We ask God to forgive us, and we're forgiven. Well, I believe we need to continually walk in repentance. That means every day that God, the Spirit of God, shows us something that's not right, we need to get right with him. We need to say, Lord, wash over me. Let your rivers of life wash over me. I know you've cleansed me. I know you've forgiven me. But God, I don't want to be separated from you. That's why so many wander away. That's why communion is so important to us, that we examine our hearts, that we walk right with God. Otherwise, the flow will begin to lessen in our lives, will hinder the flow. God wants to increase his presence. He wants to wash us. He wants to remove and cleanse us from all sin. And there is nothing in this world that will cleanse our sin. No matter what springs you go to in the Canadian mountains, you can get the most cleanest of the spring water that you can get and drink it, and that won't refresh you or cleanse you. Only the living water, only the blood of Jesus will cleanse and wash away our sin. That is why it's so important we come to him and remember what he's done, but also apply it to our lives. Be cleansed. That cleansing power of the flow. When Jesus' heart was pierced, it said blood and water flowed. You know, that wasn't just, you know, physical. That was something spiritual going on there for this world. He's wanting to wash over us. That's why the Bible says if he's born again, he must be born of the water and of the Spirit. We need the living water to bring life to us. This Rotherham needs living water. Our neighbors need that living water. Our children and our schools need the living water. Finally, let me come to almost bring to a close. And verse 10, It said the water came, and it came to some parts. It said to the swamps and to the marshes. But when it hit these places, there was no healing. It remained barren. It remained empty. And that's what the salt speaks of. It speaks of the sterility. It speaks of the barrenness that was over them. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 23 says this, all its land is brimstone and salt, a burning waste, unsown and unproductive, and no grass grows in it, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's saying that there's a place, sometimes the water of God will flow over people's lives, but they'll be unreceptive to God's water. When God spoke, Jesus spoke, and he sowed out many seeds of life. And I believe his word, it's right, his word doesn't come return empty. It always accomplishes what it sets it forth to do. But the water, when God's water, it flows, it will do its work, but there needs to be a reception in our hearts. So there are places where people will not receive the gospel. There are people who will be hardened to the gospel. There are people who will be hardened to the rivers of the living water. People who don't want to see it. People who rather things of this world and to thirst after the things of this world rather than the things of God. And sadly, they will not experience the healing or the power or the refreshing or the life of God. And that saddens my heart. More so, I guess, for the church, when we just miss out on what God has for us, when we should know better, when we should know the word and everything Jesus said, and we know it's there, but yet we'd rather turn away. But for those who don't know him, those who reject his word, how many times we read in the scriptures where Jesus was saddened and moved in his heart because people rejected the word. Don't let our hearts sadden God's, but let it feel joy and say, God, fill me with living waters. When I came, When I came, first sermon I preached was about the new life, a new day in God. And I'm going to bring you back to a verse because the Lord brought me back to it. And I feel I want to declare it as prophetic over this church. Isaiah 43, verse 19. Says, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Amen. Do you see it? Do you see the river? Are you still thirsty when the river is brimming? Do you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the fields will thank me, the jackals and the owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland, so my chosen people can be refreshed. He says he will do it. I believe he's done it. Let's get hold of him. Let's see it. Let's thirst after it. Let's go deeper. Let's not remain on the shores, but go deeper in the things of God. John, would you come and as we close? As the man of God said to Ezekiel, come further. I wonder if we could just stand. Could we stand if we're able to? Let's just close our eyes for a moment. This isn't about me at all in any way. But it's about seeing. We live by faith, not by sight. Seeing the unseen. Seeing what God is doing. Let's just begin to see that river flowing. The river flow. We've seen that river flowing over sickness. And every time it touches an ailment, it brings sickness, it brings restoration. Over hearts that are broken, that are wounded, that are hurting, that are grieving, it brings life and hope again as that river flows. Is there a sense of people wondering, what's my purpose in life? As that river flows, it brings purpose. As the river flows, it brings a fresh call to evangelize and to spread the gospel, to tell others about Jesus. As that river flows over us, it brings life, helps us to see things more clearly. As he said, have you seen this? The Holy Spirit is saying to you today, have you seen this? Have you seen what the Lord can do? Have you seen what he is doing? Have you seen the giftings he's placed inside of you? Have you seen the measure of the greatness of His Holy Spirit, which is bubbling up within you? Have you seen the measure of His joy, which is beyond this world joy and unspeakable joy that is overflowing? Have you seen this? Have you experienced the joy of the Lord? Have you experienced His healing that goes so deep to the uttermost parts of your life that have been pressed down and crushed down for years from the childhood? Have you seen the joy and the living waters as it flows? Take your burdens to the river. Take your sorrows to the river. Take your hurts and your pains. Bring it to the river. Let's go deeper. Let's not look at the shore, but let's look at the water that's flowing. Oh, let's begin to ask God in this time. Let Him minister to you. Let Him wash over you. Let Him bring healing, deliverance. Let's not stand the shores and just dip our toes in. Let's go deeper. Heart, go deeper. Deep cries out to deep. Thirsting for You, Lord. Believe what You say is true, Jesus. Some of you may want to respond as we worship God, and between you and God, you want to respond and say, God, I want to go deeper. And maybe you physically, you want to do that by responding and coming. You may want to get on your knees before God and just come and respond. Say, God, I want to go deeper in You. Just come to the front and just come to the altar. Come to the source of the river. I want to go deeper in You, Lord. Maybe some of you need prayer. You want the river to flow. And respond. Maybe you need Jesus in your heart and you need to respond to Jesus. God, forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. Take this time as we worship. Thank You, Jesus. I believe like a Niagara Falls, He'll rush over you. Thank You, Jesus. And sing, thank You. If you need prayer, then just respond. And between you and God, thank You, Jesus.
When God called Moses led a nation, when God warned Noah built a boat, when God tested Abraham laid it down, when God promised, Sarah trusted.
Take us to the river, Lord. Take us to the river.
God commanded.